Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The debate between Trump and Biden was another teachable moment in history. His story, God's story. So let's go through the issues that the debate stirred up. The Democrats, of course, are in a panic because Biden showed all of the signs of failing mental capacity. And they're now realizing that his dementia will probably lose them the election.
Personal debt of any president in a four-year period, number one. Number two, you've got $2 trillion tax cut benefited the very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Let's make it clear that the real problem is not primarily his frailty. The problem is his policies. Unwavering support for abortion, transgenderism, LGBTQ, men and women's sports, socialism, big government programs, DEI, the racism of identity politics, morality based upon personal freedom and personal autonomy. If the president was aged and had moral character, I don't believe Christian conservatives would have that much of a problem with the man. Even an aged person can still have a moral compass that points in the right direction. But for most of the American public, they don't want to see a man representing our country who is handicapped. In one poll before the debate, 65% of the public said Biden is too old for the job. After the debate, 72% said he was too old for the job. So notice that the public already realized the problem before the debate. Even 51% of Democrats believe Biden is too old to be the president of the United States. After the debate, in a July 4th speech, President Biden again lost his thoughts and rambled. In a Wisconsin rally, Biden insisted that he will beat Trump again in 2020. President Biden prepared for the debate for at least 6 weeks, and he was given the questions beforehand. If this is how poorly he does being prepared, he's evidently in decline. And it's only going to get worse over the next 4 months, let alone the next 4 years. Dementia is progressive. So many Democrats are calling for Biden to step down. Top congressional Democrats are meeting this week to get support to ask Biden to drop out of the race. I mean, this is not a meeting with the full Democrat caucus, but it's a first step. Having that level of opposition in Biden's own party pretty much signals the end of his campaign. And I've been noticing that in all of the major evening news programs, the story being covered almost every night is key Democrat leaders calling for Biden to step down versus Biden's refusal to concede. The leftist media, who work as watchdogs for the Democrat Party, wouldn't be putting out those stories if they wanted Biden to still be their candidate. Rule number one, never criticize a Democrat or hurt his personal persona. You know, amazingly, CNN fact-checked Biden in the debate and listed all of Biden's lies.
some of them. He said he's the only president in a while who didn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world. Troops have, of course, died on his watch. He said he's put in a $15 per shot cap on insulin and Medicare. It's a $35 a month cap. He said it's a $200 cap on overall drug spending in Medicare. It's $2,000 a year. He said the border now has fewer crossings than when Trump was in office. That's generally not true. He said, or at least strongly suggested, unemployment was at 15% when he took office. It was actually 6.4. He said Trump wants to get rid of Social Security. Trump doesn't. He said billionaires pay 8.2% in taxes. It's much higher. He said Trump told Americans to inject bleach amid COVID. We know Trump made foolish comments about scientists studying disinfectant injection, but didn't frame it as advice to people. And Biden said the Border Patrol endorsed him. No, it's union supported. The border bill he supported never endorsed him himself.
Also, John Stewart and other leftist comedian pundits are ridiculing Biden. And that's always a sign of which way the political winds are blowing. I just finished listening to an interview with a Democrat consultant, Julian Epstein, and he says about Biden and Democrat insiders who are defending Biden that they're refusing to engage in debate, and this is groupthink. This is borderline narcissism to stay in power. They have lied to the voters, and the media has abdicated its role to be a check on those in power. James Carville, probably one of the most well-known Democrat strategists, has called upon Biden to step down. In a New York Times Siena College poll, Biden has 41% of the vote and Trump has 49%. No incumbent president wins with those polling numbers in the summer before an election. Another issue in all of this is the media cover-up. The media scandal is as big a story as Biden's cognitive decline. In the New York magazine, The Intelligencer, a major liberal publication, the lead article is entitled "The Conspiracy of Silence to Protect Joe Biden. The President's Mental Decline Was a Dark Family Secret for Many Elite Supporters." So the talk is, what did the Democrat Party know and when did they know it? The media covered for Biden because they work as campaigners for the Democrat Party. But when the media fails to deliver the goods for the party, and they are responsible for promoting candidates that can't win, the party turns on the media for getting them into trouble for being too protective. So expect the media to try to redeem themselves by helping the party get rid of Joe Biden. In the Stephanopoulos interview with Biden after the debate, all of a sudden Stephanopoulos is asking hard questions about the president's fitness, putting Biden on a defensive. He would never have done that before the debate. Stephanopoulos said to Biden, "You told the American people to watch me, to judge my fitness for presidency." The debate seemed to confirm the fears they already had. After the debate, Stephanopoulos said about the president that he's not going to make it 4 more years. Remember also the Justice Department cover-up? The DOJ interviewed Biden over the classified documents in his home and then stated that they would not prosecute him because he was an elderly man with a poor memory. Well, the public wanted to hear the recordings of those interviews with Biden, and Merrick Garland refused to release them. This is just another example of how the deep state has been covering up Biden's decline. So we again see an example of ungodly bias and dishonesty in the world. Another issue, Biden's refusal to step down. An example of hubris. People in power want to hold on to power at all cost, as if they're the only ones who can be in charge. Like the example of King Saul, who wouldn't support David, who is a better, younger man, chosen of God. In that ABC interview, Biden said, "Look, I'm running again because I think I understand best what has to be done to take our nation to a completely new level. We are on our way." Even though there are 23 Democrat governors, 213 Democrat congressmen, and 51 Democrat senators, only Biden can run the country? Biden should be aware of his limitations and his coming end of days, but Grandpa doesn't want to let go of the car keys. He should actually be glad to step aside and support another leader. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, a poor wise lad is better than an old foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. There is a group of Biden supporters that are fighting for Biden to stay in office, certainly his own family. But what's a real mystery is why people in his cabinet and in various federal agencies still support him. Maybe they believe in the power of incumbency, that he's the best candidate for that reason. 21 presidents won a second term. 10 did not win a second term. So incumbency doesn't guarantee re-election, especially if you've had a bad 4 years. That can really work against a president. As in the case of Jimmy Carter and George Bush telling people he would not raise taxes, but then he raised taxes. Maybe people around Biden fear being replaced by another Democrat president, or maybe they like the fact that Biden is impaired. All they have to do is slip a piece of paper in front of him and he'll sign it. Deep state gets to run the country. As Biden said in his interview with Stephanopoulos, it's not about a conglomerate of people making decisions, but the character of the president. And in that, Biden let it be known that other people are making the decisions and Biden is content to be a figurehead. And certainly the people under him are more than willing to let him do that. Gives them power. Donald Trump coming in would likely do it his own way. Now, there are plenty of movies and novels and real historic examples of leaders who were figureheads for the real operators. Well, this brings us to another issue. What's the plan of the Democrat Party? Can they replace Biden and how? You know, I'm not doing this program to predict what will happen, as many pundits often do, because I've learned never to predict elections because there are so many last-minute factors that arise. For example, look at what has just happened in Europe. The so-called populist conservative movement in Europe might be coming to an end. The conservative parties in the UK and France just experienced major losses. Voters are fickle. Who knows what will the mood of the country be in the fall? Biden may actually win. So I avoid making predictions on this program, but for the last 2 years, I've been among those who are confident that Biden would not be running in 2024. Although I wanted him to run because his failing mental state would help secure a Republican victory. In the debate, I hoped he did poorly, but not too poorly, so that he would have to drop out. Biden's deterioration has been so obvious. However, the mystery is, he still has received unwavering support from Democrats, and he won the primary. He wasn't even primaried by anyone. All of the Democrats claim the opposite of what we all saw. Look at this clip from the RNC. Excuse the poor video.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
This guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game.
His mental acuity is great.
This is a very sharp president.
This is a man that's on his game.
President Biden is absolutely fit.
There's not a problem.
He's sharp. He's fit. He's always answering questions.
He is on the ball.
He was sharper than anyone I've spoken to.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
There's no doubt in my mind that the president is mentally fit for office.
Biden has proven himself to have a strong memory.
He's completely mentally sharp.
He's at the top of his game.
So it's either the Democrats and the media believe their own lie about Biden's competence, or they're hiding a plan. You know, my guess is they were most likely hiding a plan, a contingent plan based upon how well Biden would be doing in the polls this summer. They didn't want to remove him too early or remove their support from him too early. Otherwise, he'd be a lame duck candidate in office. They didn't want to primary him because then they would have to air all of their inner criticism against their own party members. Besides, it would be quite a fight among competing Democrats. The best option would be to wait until the convention, and if things weren't going well for Biden, to have him step down. That way, the party insiders could put forth the candidate they want without all of that messy primary democracy stuff. Party leaders in choosing a new candidate do not have to opt for Kamala Harris. In fact, she fares worse than Biden in polling even after the debate. Now, what about Biden's reluctance to step down? We all know that if party leaders don't want Biden to run, he can't succeed. They will tell their friends in the media to destroy him. He will not be able to stand against Democrats calling for him to step down. But the way it looks right now, Biden's defiance against any calls for him to step down may be a big problem for the party. Something maybe they didn't expect. Listen to what Biden said on the Morning Joe program. What he said about the elites in his party wanting him to step down and how he dares them to challenge him.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot. Just a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the elites. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elites in the party who they know so much more. If any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
So I want us to understand that the Democrat leadership is not that smart. You know, it's a fallacy that the Republicans are the stupid party and the Democrats are the unified smart party. Neither party has great wisdom. Here, the Democrats are supposed to be the cool party for young people, and they run Joe Biden in 2020, like the mistakes the Republicans made in running 73-year-old Bob Dole against Bill Clinton in 1996. When Obama chose Biden to be his running mate, and Biden chose Kamala to be his running mate, the party wasn't considering the future. They should have chosen someone young and popular who they could mentor for the presidency, but instead, the candidates didn't want a vice president that would upstage them. Now, in conclusion, the issue I would like to discuss at length is the conspiracy theories. There are pundits on the internet claiming that Democrat insiders, the powers that be, are running a game of three-level chess. That the DNC actually set up this debate to have an excuse to get rid of Biden. But other pundits are claiming it was a mistake on the part of the DNC. They assumed Trump would not agree to the terms of the debate, and therefore they could get Biden out of debating by claiming Trump refused to debate. But Trump called their bluff, so maybe it's Trump who's playing three-level chess. Question. How are we to view the power and the intelligence of man? Is the Democrat Party actually controlling the situation, or is the situation controlling the party? Have they dug a pit for others and have fallen into it themselves, or are their plans working like a well-oiled machine? Well, my understanding from Scripture is that man, the ungodly, they lay out their plans, but the Lord thwarts them. Job chapter 5, verse 13. He captures the wise by their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. This is a general principle quoted again by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Psalm 146, 9. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. And the whole message of the Bible is that God thwarts Satan at his game. Satan, in implementing his plan, always shoots himself in the foot. Satan and the unsaved are not that smart. They certainly can't outsmart God. God is holding the strings. But I'm also reading and hearing Christians saying that if Trump wins the election, it must be because the powers that be, the deep state, or some international meeting of globalists have decided to let Trump win because a secret cabal now believes that they can control and direct him, and he's secretly on their side. So the implication is that evil controls the world, so that if someone like a Ted Cruz or a Marco Rubio or a J.D. Vance gets into office, they must have made a deal with the devil. Now, seriously, there are professing Christians who think in these terms. So in conclusion, this is what I want to address. This is the Bible study answering the question, does the devil and his minions control and determine the election? Now, if it's imagined that a cabal of deep state operatives control the election, how much more the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working among the sons of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, if he's a spirit that's already working in the world, and that's what the Apostle John also writes, 1 John 4:3, the spirit of the Antichrist that's now already in the world, then Satan and his demons certainly are that real cabal deciding who wins in 2024. Remember what Satan said to Jesus in the temptation, Luke chapter 4, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. If Satan has been given authority over the kingdoms of this world, and he gives dominion to whomever he wishes, then certainly he moves the hearts of the people to elect whom he wants. Satan certainly has a campaign staff that dwarfs the DNC and the RNC. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul calls Satan the god of this world, who has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world in John 12:31. He called Satan the ruler of this world three times, John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11. And the Apostle John also writes in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:26 that people have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read that Satan is bound so that he no longer deceives the nations. After a millennium, he's released and he goes forth to once again deceive the nations. So he must have great influence over the governments of men. You know, he can certainly cause the minds of people to go gaga over certain candidates. Ever notice how for some inexplicable reason, certain people get name recognition? Certain people get success in politics and in business. They even get media attention. You know, why is it Donald Trump and not Harold Finkelstein from Hoboken? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He is the great dragon that deceives the whole world. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, we read that the prince of the nation of Persia is actually a demon. And Gabriel and Michael have to fight that demon for 21 days before they can even get a message to Daniel. So it sure looks like Satan's kingdom is running this world. In Isaiah 14, the king of Babylon, and in Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyre, are both described as Satan himself. In Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, 1678, Christian meets Apollyon, the devil, on his journey to the celestial city. And Bunyan has Apollyon saying to Christian, you are one of my subjects, for all of the country of destruction belongs to me. I am the prince and the god of it. Why have you run away from your king? Were it not that I might get more service out of you, I would strike you down right here. You must know that no prince in that dominion gives up his subjects willingly. Neither will I give you up, but since you complain of the service and the wages, we can fix that. Go back, and whatever the country can afford in the way of pay, I will see that you get it. Well, then Christian has to fight Apollyon unto near death in order to escape from Apollyon's country. So if a dedicated Christian can hardly evade Satan's demands, how much less the politicians? So this is Bunyan's depiction of Satan's influence in this world, and it does reflect biblical truth. You know, I share all this to describe how easy it is to fall into the mindset that Satan is in control and righteousness can never advance in this world. So that even when conservatives see a good candidate winning, some will always say, well, he must have made a deal with the devil. He must be a closet liberal. I've seen this quite often on the internet. Certain patriots want a righteous candidate, but when that righteous candidate begins to succeed, they turn on him. It's almost as if these people operate on a very pessimistic worldview. You know, it's a cry of frustration concerning the state of affairs. And the perspective is true to some extent. Because even though we might get a righteous candidate into office, he's still a flawed human being. Even the best of kings in the Old Testament never completely abided by the word of God. So it's good to have a healthy suspicion or a caution toward any elected official, toward the state of this world, because the world is passing away. But my point is, don't take it too far. Don't start naysaying every candidate and every righteous cause, as if there can be no righteous advance in this world. Let's consider again the scriptures. Let's not read one set of verses to the exclusion of another set. Although we have these texts of scriptures concerning the influence of Satan, we have direct statements in scripture that God is the one who sets up rulers. Psalm 75. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is boasting that he built the kingdom of Babylon. And God humbles him by striking him with a disease and removes him from the throne for 7 years. And God says, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets it over the lowliest of men. And the whole lesson in Daniel chapter 2 is that God is raising up four empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Satan is not doing this. And Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, you, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. Never do we read in scripture that Satan puts anyone into office. So certainly it's not being done by some cabal of human earthly leaders. You know, even God said about the evil Pharaoh of the Exodus, Romans chapter 9, I raised you up. And in Acts chapter 4, God appointed Herod and Pilate to do whatever God's hand and God's purpose predestined to occur. And we see at times that God has actually given his people authority on earth. King David, Hezekiah, Josiah, and Daniel, Nehemiah, and Esther, who are raised to places of authority in the pagan, godless nation of Babylon. And especially Joseph, who gained authority in Egypt. Acts chapter 7, the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him and rescued him from all of his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all of his household. God granted Joseph favor and changed the mind of Pharaoh. So at the root of the error here is a denial that God raises up evil rulers. I mean, how could God put into office Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Pilate? Well, those leaders are appointed by God to bring punishment upon the world for the protection and direction of the church. But here is the error of the logic. Since it's assumed that God can't be raising up evil leaders, therefore Satan is the one who's raising them up. And if he has the power to raise up evil leaders, then God only raises up good ones occasionally, in rare circumstances, when enough people pray or when a nation is really, really, really righteous. So therefore, no current president of the United States could possibly be of God. Satan must be running Washington and the election. And it's easy to fall into that mindset. But we must get our theology from the Bible, not from rationalism or empiricism. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. But you say, wait a minute, what about Biden's push for LGBTQ and abortion and children being mutilated in transgenderism? Well, Romans chapter 1, there comes a point where God gives people over to the lust of their hearts so that they'll be punished by the due penalty of their error. Biden is called of God to be a destroyer. And this is why we still honor him as the president, for he's ordained of God. But of course, when it comes to voting, we're only to vote for the one who supports righteousness. We're not to be involved in the wrath of God. Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But that's a whole other subject. The point is that God raises up what we would call unrighteous rulers. Satan doesn't put these people into office. But even that has to be qualified. Because Satan is certainly involved in influencing evil rulers, he may even imagine that he is putting them into office. But it's God who's the one who's actually directing all outcomes for his glory and for the good of his people. All that to say, I don't believe that there is a cabal of evil insiders who are deciding who is going to be the next president. The unsaved world is not that smart, and Satan doesn't control everything. There may be groups trying, but they're not accomplishing what they think they're accomplishing. Biden did get one thing right. In his interview with Stephanopoulos, Biden said he would only drop out of the race if the Lord Almighty comes and tells him to do that. And God will certainly determine whether he will run and whether he will win or lose. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37, who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Nahum chapter 1, verse 9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Psalm 33, the Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Thank you for listening. Thank you for loving the word. Stand firm in the truth, and may Jesus Christ reign.